Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our reading comes today from Luke 15, verses 1 through to 7, and it talks about the parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you come after us. You search for us, Lord God. And so today, Father, as we hear from you, Lord God, may we set our minds and our hearts on you. May we welcome your Holy Spirit in this place. Have your way in each and every one of us. Remove any distraction, Lord God, that you would speak to every person this evening. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for loving us as your children, Lord God. We ask these things in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Amen. Amen. So good. So good. I don't even remember if I said my name when I introduced myself. My name is Henry. I'm one of the leaders here. So good to see everyone here. Welcome to Every Nation, Logan. And for those of you that are joining us online, welcome as well. And so we're continuing in our series of a church that ... Okay. And so we're looking at our values as a church. Okay. And so last week, Pastor Nelly began the series with how our worship should come out of those moments of disappointment. And we looked at the story of these two men on the road to Emmaus, right? And so Jesus has a 2.5 Bible, 2.5 hour Bible study with these men on the road to Emmaus. Yet these men didn't recognize that it was Jesus that was with them. Because they were so focused, they were so absorbed with the events that had happened in the last 3 days prior to that. Jesus is always with us. And so recognizing and then leaning into Christ in those moments of disappointment should be something that we should build into our character and into resilience, right? And so today I'm going to be speaking about the value of outreach. And so the title of my message today is A Church That Reaches Out. Nudge somebody and say, "A Church That Reaches Out." And so the Every Nation movement that our church is part of values outreach, values mission, values preaching the gospel. We are in 81 nations around the world. We have 458 churches globally. We have 88 active church plants, of which Every Nation Logan is part of them, right? Exciting. We have 1,905 university campuses all around the world that we're in. That's pretty cool, right? That's a movement that reaches out. And we are a church that reaches out. Amen? Have you ever lost anything? Maybe your car keys, maybe your wallet, maybe your phone, maybe like me, all of the above. You know, when you lose your car keys, the worst thing about it is that you usually lose it when you need it the most, right? You got to get somewhere, and you're frantically forgotten where it's at, right? You've put it in such a safe place that you've forgotten where that safe place is. Another, I know you could probably ask my wife about this, but I've lost my wallet a couple of times, and you know, the first thing that comes to mind for me when I lose my wallet is, "Oh my gosh, all that money that I have in my wallet. Oh, wait a minute, I don't have any cash in my wallet. But losing stuff, losing things that are important to you, right? It's not the nicest. Now, I remember when my son was younger, and there was a couple of times where my son would lose sight of me and my wife, whether it would be in a mall or something. And, you know, it would only be like for a couple of moments. Don't worry, we're not those parents that leave our kids alone by themselves anywhere, okay? But it'll be only like for a couple of moments. We'll lose sight of him. And then when we come back to him and we found him, you just see the look on his face. It's like, I thought you left me, Daddy. You know? I was like, son, no, no. Sorry. We never leave you. We'll never leave you. Right? But it's not the nicest feeling when you lose something. Luke 15 introduces us to three parables. Now, a parable is a story that has that is used to emphasize a lesson or a principle. And so in Luke 15, there are three principles that Jesus shares about, right? The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the prodigal son. So I would encourage you to read through Luke 15 to get a better picture of all three, because I'm just going to sort of, you know, highlight these three, okay, in part of the message today. And so if we look at verse 1 of this, it reads, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him." They were all drawing around Jesus. Tax collectors and sinners. Interesting how tax collectors are grouped with sinners, right? Because they weren't liked by many people. Because they were dodgy. They couldn't be trusted because they were allowed to charge any amount of tax on people. So they would charge extra on top of what they were supposed to do to help finance their own sort of lifestyle. And so in the head of a tax collector, I've sort of visualized it as something like this. 5 for Caesar and 3 for me. And so they'll tell the person, that'll be 8 coins, thank you very much. And the people would have to pay it. They would have to pay the tax. So Jesus is with these tax collectors, these sinners, these people of poor reputation, these people that other people wouldn't be hanging around. They wouldn't want to be seen with them. You know, those people, oh, you hang out with them? Or you roll with them? This is who Jesus was having a meal with. Jesus, the sinless, perfect Son of God. He's kicking it with these people. He's hanging out with these people. Jesus got no problem with them, but the Pharisees do. The scribes, they got a problem with this. In verse 2, it says this, "And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" It's like saying that, you know, because I'm a New South Wales supporter, Henry's sitting with Queenslanders and eating with them. Now, I love my Queenslanders. I live in this beautiful state. Keep the noise down in the front row here. You know, it's important to understand that these three parables as a whole are Jesus' single response to the accusation that was posed to him by these scribes and these Pharisees, okay? This means that this man receives sinners and eats with them. Okay, so you think about it. Why does Jesus tell the story 3 times? I think these guys were probably weren't going to get it one way, so he had to tell another way. And then they weren't going to get that way. He could tell it the other way. And they had to get it 3 times. The Pharisees and the scribes were always looking for opportunities to try and bring Jesus down, especially when it didn't align with what they believed to be how they interpreted the law. And so they were hard-hearted toward Jesus and what he taught. And so these three parables are in response to the grumbling, the complaining, the moaning of these Pharisees and scribes. And so I want us to look at these three parables from a bird's eye view and see the similarities in each of these stories. And then see how this will look like for us as we're reaching out to those around us. So, observation number one, there was a connection. There was a connection. There was a sense of belonging for each of these stories. When we look at the story of the lost sheep, in verse 4, it says this, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after that one that is lost until he finds it?" This man, this shepherd, he has 100 sheep. He owns them. They belong to him. There's an existing connection with them. And so when one of them gets lost, there's this sense of care. There's this sense of responsibility. There's this sense of compassion towards this one that is lost. And so he goes after them. He goes to find that lost one. The sheep belonged to the shepherd. In the story of the lost coin, the woman has 10 coins, but she loses one. The coins belonged to the woman. In the story of the prodigal son, the sons belonged to the father. The sons were in relationship with their father. So there's this existing connection with the lost. And so my question for us today is, what connection do we have with the lost? What connection do we have with the lost? Who are we befriending and building with relationally that doesn't know Jesus? Who are we connecting with? And there are so many avenues for us to connect with people. You know, if you think about what you get up to during the week, who has a gym membership? Who has a gym membership? Yeah, yeah. Sweet, awesome. That's a great place to connect with people, at the gym, right? Whose kids belong in a sports team? Whose kids belong in a sports team? Oh, yeah, no one has kids in here. Sweet ass. We need to start a sports team. But it's important, you know, in those environments of where there are other people around, those are great environments to be able to connect with people. You know, don't be like me when my son used to play soccer a few years ago. When I first started, I was like, go drop my son off and then go sit in the car and watch from the car. Until they asked me to be a manager. And I was like, sure, I'll go out there. But those are opportunities for us to connect. When we're with people, man, just being around them, showing your Christ-like character, loving them, sharing with them, encouraging their children. Those are great opportunities for us to connect with people. You know, another opportunity is silverbacks. Silverbacks. I didn't see many hands go up about the gym membership stuff, but maybe you all come to the Silverbacks on a Monday night at 6 p.m. or Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. Marsden State High School, okay? I'll just put it out there for you, all right? Okay? But, you know, even at Silverbacks, you know, the community comes to it, man. They bring their families, their kids and stuff, and it's a great opportunity. Honestly, when you go through something with people, especially something that's really hard, like a Silverbacks workout, at the end of it, you're so glad. You go, oh, man, I'm so glad we did that. Yeah, but then when you talk with people, the barriers have come down. And you can just have conversation about life, about stuff. But you've been through stuff together. You've just gone through a real tough workout together, and now it's like, yeah, let's talk now. There are so many opportunities for us to connect with people around us. Your neighbors, give them a wave, say hi to them. Don't be like me and like, oh no. Okay, don't do that. It's not being very Christ-like, man. Far. Or mow their lawns. I've mowed my neighbor's lawn sometime. You know, just that little part, you know, that where they join. I've been a good neighbor. I don't know about you. You just got that little, I mowed some of your lawn, bro. But yeah, there are opportunities. There's so many opportunities for us to connect with people around us. Amen. Bake me a cake or something. You know, anything. I like cakes. What connection do we have with the lost? Number two. Observation number two. There is an unawareness of being lost. There's an unawareness of being lost. You know, I can say for myself that when I first came to Christ, when I first believed and became a follower of Christ, I didn't think before that, I didn't think that I needed saving from anything, right? I thought that, oh man, my life is cool. I'm all good. I thought I was a nice guy. I thought that everything was going good for me. Yeah, I'm nice to people. I give sometimes to them. I help them out. But that doesn't get us to heaven. The Bible's pretty clear in saying this, that we need saving. And it only comes through believing in the Lord Jesus, confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's how we're saved. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is saying that this is the only way to get through to my daddy. It's through me, through Jesus. Walk in the way that I'm walking. Live out the truth that I am teaching you. Live the life that I have for you. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. This unawareness of being lost. I'll tell you now, the sheep did not know that they were lost. The coin did not know that they were lost. The son did not know that he was lost. There are people out there that are unaware, or they do not know, or do not even recognize that they're lost, that they need saving, that there's something missing in their life. And so how can we help these ones? Well, we can start by looking for them. Search for them. Have conversations with them, right? Like I was saying, you know, building relationally with them. Have a meal with them. You know, go to a movie, go bowling, go do something with them. Do something that they like to do, right? Train with them. And then connect them with your friends. And then you connect with their friends. And then you notice how the connection gets bigger because you've introduced them to your friends and now they've introduced them to their friends. You've got a greater scope of reaching other people. And walk with them through life. However they may look, however hard that may look. And that may require resources, that may require time, that may require giving up something. But if you think about what Christ gave up for you and me, it's pretty small, right? Christ gave his life for us. Number three, observation number three, there is a celebration. Everyone say, there is a celebration. We read in the parable of the lost sheep, right? The response of the shepherd. Rejoice with me, celebrate with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Then in verse 7, Jesus says this, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. It should be a great celebration when someone repents. and receives Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen. And we see the same response in the parable of the lost coin. The response of the woman when she found the coin was, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my coin that was lost." And Jesus repeats the similar statement in verse 10. He says this, "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The emphasis in these parables is not on the proportion or the number, but on the joy of finding the lost. The joy of finding the lost. This was the era that the Pharisees and the scribes were complaining about. They were not joyful when the tax collectors and the sinners were drawing near to Jesus. They were murmuring and complaining. They were grumbling. But heaven rejoices. The angels rejoice. God rejoices in finding the lost one. How about us? Do we rejoice when someone is found? Do we rejoice when someone is found? Do we remember that heaven is celebrating over this one soul that has returned home? Or are we comparing and grumbling like the Pharisees and the scribes? Oh, why are they coming to church now? Oh, why are they doing that now? Don't be a Pharisee. Celebrate the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Celebrate the plan of God that is unfolding before our very eyes. Celebrate the return of a son. Celebrate the return of a daughter. Celebrate the coming home of God's children. Amen. Because like it or not, there is a celebration going on in heaven. Okay? So with or without us, they are going to be celebrating in heaven. So you might as well get on the celebration bandwagon and rejoice along with heaven, right? Rather than be like the killjoy Pharisees and scribes in their little corner grumbling and complaining. Now I want us to zoom in and see what or who these people that Jesus is wanting us to reach out to. And I can see four types of people in this passage, in these passages, that I believe that God is wanting to remind us of, okay? And so we'll look at each one and then we'll break it down, okay? So these are the four types of people, okay? Those that are far away from him, that's the lost sheep. Those that have lost their value, that's the lost coin, the parable of the lost coin. Those that do not feel worthy to come home, that's the prodigal son. And those that have forgotten who they are, that's the older son in the story of the prodigal son. And so those that are far away from him. I read that sheep are not very bright animals. And that when they get separated, that they just bleat and walk around. They just, bah, 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 you know. They have no sense of looking around, assessing the situation, and making a wise decision and moving towards that. No, they just do not do that. Sheep just move around, bah, 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 bah. You know, and the voice crackling happens as well with the sheep. But that's all they do. But they'll wait until the shepherd comes along and places them on their shoulder and then reunites them with the flock. You know, discipling, shepherding people can be a little bit like this video that I'm going to show you, right? So there's no sound. So we're helping people out, right? We're helping them out of a tight situation that they're in. You think about discipling someone. Come on, come on, let's go, let's go. And then they get out. And we're like, yes, let's go. Ah, oh, what the? Do you know people like that? You help them out and they celebrate for a day. And then next minute, why are you doing that again? Anyone here done that? Yeah. Yes, that can be us too. Seriously. That isn't just people out there. We be like that too, right? Yeah, if we be real. And we get so uptight with people when they don't learn. Man, I told you, don't go around those people. I told you, don't watch that stuff. I told you, don't be around that sort of stuff. And yet they just, you know, they get stuck in the same thing over and over again. But do you know what? How many times before have you fallen and God still continued to love you? Right? How many times? 1, 2, 3, 5,000, 7,000. Keep going, keep going. That's right. That same grace that God shows to us, we need to extend that to those that we're reaching out to. That same grace that God showed us, we need to have that grace on those that we're walking with. If they fall into the same thing again, then we do the same thing again. Help them out. Okay, let's go. Come on, let's go. In love. Don't be stubborn about it. Don't be angry with them. Get out of here. Get out of here. You know those things that you do with your kids? Pulling by the ears. Don't do that, island parents. Come on now. Don't do that, okay? But think about how gracious God was to us. That should remind us. Okay, I was once lost, God. Yes, thank you for bringing me to this place. And you know what? Maybe the fact that you were with someone like that, maybe there's still some stuff in you that God wants to work out of you too, right? What do you reckon? I think about this. When I saw that video, man, I cracked up when I saw that video. I'm like, yeah, I know people like that. I've done that too. But I think God wants us to understand this, because I think we get so caught up in life, in trying to do the task, that we forget about what God has done in our own lives. We get so focused on just trying to hurry up and get saved, hurry up and get discipled, hurry up and come to church, hurry up and do this, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. But it's like, nah. Did God tell you, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up? No. God was saying, I'm here for you, son. I'm here for you, daughter. Come along this way. Come along. I know you're going to fall again, but I'm here for you. What do you reckon? I think us, and you know, I think as an islander, as an islander, I need to tone down on that island style, right? You know, that there's a side of me that wants to rah at people all the time, you know? But God's heart is not like that. He is gracious. He's kind. He's loving, right? And that's the heart of God. And when we experience that in our own lives, when we know that God loved me so much that he gave his son Jesus for me, then it's out of that place that you begin to love others. Because you've experienced it in your own life. There's this well in you that will never run dry. As long as you keep going back to God, as long as you keep, you know, having that time, being at the feet of Jesus, that'll keep getting filled up. That'll keep getting filled up. And we'll be able to connect with people, walk alongside people, no matter how long it takes. Right? Nudge the person next to you and say, no matter how long it takes. Okay, number two. Those that have lost their value. Those that have lost their value. The woman that turned the house upside down to find that one coin. You know, what extent would you go to find that one coin? What extent would you go to find that one person? like I said before, it may be inconvenient at times. You know, you may get a message from them at an inconvenient time. You may get a phone call from them at an inconvenient time. And then what's your response going to be? Is it going to be one of those, oh, they've seen my message but no response? Or are you going to respond to them with the love of Christ and get on their phone and respond to them and ask them, hey, is everything all right? Hey, is there anything that I can help you with? There are people out there that feel that they have lost their value, that society is crushing the life out of them, that they don't feel value, they don't feel important, they don't feel wanted, they don't feel that they belong anywhere, because there has never been a real, genuine connection with anyone. When we find these people, we need to tell them about the great value that God has placed on them. God knows every intricate detail about them. Every intricate detail. He created us. He created them. He designed them. He designed us. He has a plan for them. He has a plan for us. In Matthew 10:30, it says this, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. God knows that number. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. God knows every intricate detail about you. He created you exactly the way that He wanted you to be. There's nothing wrong with you. You are perfectly, wonderfully, uniquely made in the image of God. And some people out there need to hear this. Then went into number three. Those that do not feel worthy to come back home. This is the prodigal son, right? He asked for his share of inheritance. And then he goes off to a faraway land and he spends it all on wasteful living. But when he hits rock bottom, as he's feeding pigs in a field, and he's so hungry that he's so tempted to eat this food that he's feeding these pigs, that he comes to his senses. So instead of accepting the current circumstances, he remembers his father's house. He remembers how well his father's servants would eat. And so he decides in his heart that he will humble himself and he will return to his father's house, not as a son, but as a servant. Because he knows he's stuffed up. He knows, man, I can't go back as a son, but I'll go back as a servant. And I know my father will accept me. And so he gets up and he begins to make his way back home. When I think about how this played out, I see what sort of environment that the father had created. This loving environment, this caring environment, this generous environment, this gracious environment, this forgiving environment in the Father's house. And so wherever a son or a daughter may go, whether they go on a different path or whether they go off the path, but because those seeds have been planted in them, because they remember their father, when they hit that place of rock bottom, Who will they remember? What will they remember? Will they remember the love, the grace, the mercy, the caring, the love of the Father in the Father's house? So a question for us is, what sort of environment are we creating in our own homes, in this house? Because if you call Every Nation Logan your house, you have a part to play in building a culture that people will be drawn to this place as well. It's not just on the leaders. We all play a part in that. So what about us? What sort of environment are we building? When people go through their challenges or their struggles, who are they going to go to? Who's going to come to mind for them? Will you come to mind? Because they know how God is alive in you. They've seen you pray for them. They've seen you lead them to be discipled. And so they know there's something different about you. And so when they hit that place of rock bottom, will they know to call you? Will they know to come around you and say, I need some help. I need some help in this. And so what environment are we creating? And for us as Christ followers, our hope is that when we are building with people relationally, that they will know where to come to or who to come to when they hit rock bottom, when they come to those places of struggle, when they come to those places of challenges in their life, that they know to come around the people of God, to come around someone who has a relationship with God and will know, yeah, this person's going to help me out. And so I want to encourage us in this. Something that I've been thinking about as we're beginning to unpack this, and I just sense God is saying to remind us about this, that there are so many people out there that need reaching. But we can't reach them unless we've been reached first by God. We ourselves have to have experienced God in our own lives first, right? If we don't know what the love of God is in our own lives, then how can we express this? How can we tell other people, yeah, you can experience the love of God? I haven't tasted it myself, but you can experience the love of God. There's something wrong with that. We're not right. And so I guess for us right now, I'm just sensing God wants us right now to experience His love. Right now. So if I can encourage every eye bowed, try to do that in your mind. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I think this is a moment that God is wanting for us right now. Because God's placing on my heart that some of us in here, we're feeling a bit dry at the moment. We're feeling a bit tired. You're feeling a bit like, man, is it really worth it? What else is there to do? But I think that's the key. It's not about doing anymore. It's about being in the presence of God. That's where it needs to start. I think that's where God is wanting us to adjust our mindset, adjust our minds, adjust our vision. He wants us to go back, keep it simple, go back to the beginning. start here. Start with me. Start in the at the feet of Jesus. Start right here. Experience me. Experience my love. Experience Jesus at his feet. And then from this place, then we're able to operate. Not out of our own strength, not out of our own talents, not out of our own skills, not out of our own knowledge. But it's all coming out of this place because we've spent the time at the feet of Jesus. And he's been filling us up. And so that when we're with people, it ain't a burden to be with people. It ain't a burden to speak with someone. It ain't a burden to spend time with someone. It ain't a burden to bless someone. But it's out of that love that we've experienced ourselves that we know that it's the Holy Spirit, that it's God doing the work, not us. It's God working in us. So right now, I just sense that we just need to take a moment just to stop and reflect. So right now, I just want to encourage you, right where you are, just to close your eyes. Kneel, stand, sit, whatever it is, up to you. But I want us to sit at the feet of Jesus. Quiet our minds. Don't worry about dinner. Dinner's still going to be there. Be here right now. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Those doors, but just being here, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Thank you for your love. We thank you for your great love for us that searched for us. Today, Lord God, you are reminding us of that great love that you have for us. Lord, we can get so busy trying to do your will, do things for you, when right now, right here, you want us to be here, be at your feet. So Lord God, fill us this evening, Lord God, with your grace. Show us, Lord God, what it is to truly be loved. Give us a fresh revelation of your love this evening, Lord God, right where we are, Lord God. That in everything else that we want to do for you would come out of this place where we are with you, where we are sitting at your feet. That when we operate, it's out of this place. It's out of the abundance of being in your presence. So Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your purpose. We thank you for your plan. We thank you for the people that you have placed around us, Lord God. Relationships, workmates, family members, people in our community, Lord God, people that you're bringing names, faces to the forefront right now, Lord God, people that we may need to connect with. Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength, that we would rely on your Holy Spirit, God, to help us reach them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I want to give you an invitation for those that may be sitting here and they're wondering, wow, what is this God you're talking about? What's this Jesus you're talking about? I want to give you an invitation that Jesus loves you as well, just as much. And so if you're in here today and you are wanting to step out and invite Jesus into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, then I want to give you that invitation. So with every eye closed, every eye closed and every head bowed, if that is you in here today, if you're hearing this message and you're just sensing that God is just doing something in your heart right now, can I just invite you just to shoot up your hand real quick, and I'd love to pray with you. If that's anyone in here, I want to give that opportunity for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the work that you are doing in the hearts of every person hearing your words today. Thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit that is happening right now in this place. Lord, you are transforming hearts and minds of people sitting in this place, Lord God. We're expecting this week that this week's going to be not like any other week. There's going to be something different this week. Because Lord, we're going to sit at your feet this week. This week, Lord, we're going to trust you. This week, we're going to continue to dive deeper into your word, Lord God. So Father, I thank you. I thank you for your life-giving breath that you have given to each and every one of us in this place. In Jesus' name.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.